From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 7th day of June 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises Incorporated in Mandeville, Louisiana. And then later in the program, Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor will help us look at the agricultural cash grain markets. In today's agricultural news, the Chinese government has cut interest rates in hopes of stimulating its economy. The chairman of the United States Federal Reserve says his agency is prepared to protect the U.S. economy from international issues, and the repeal of Jackson-Vanik has moved to the top of the U.S. Trade Representative's to-do list. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear an explanation of floppy or rootless corn syndrome. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can find us online at willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago at the CME Group on this Thursday afternoon. Futures finished the nearby July contract in the electronic trade at 641¾, up 17.5 cents. September at 658, up 18¾. The hard rat in Kansas City at $6.685, up 13.5 cents for the day. July corn on its final trade in the electronic at $5.93, 2 o'clock Central Time, up 6¾. September at 541½, up 14 cents. And December corn at 535½, up 16. The March futures 548¼, 17 higher. May corn on its last trade at 555½, up 16 for the day. July of next year at $5.63, up 16¼. And December of 2013 at $5.40, up 12½ on the afternoon. July soybean futures at 39¾ cents higher, finished at $14.26. The August at 1403, up 36¾ for the afternoon. And the September futures on the day finished the nearby contract at 1366½, up 37¾. November beans at 1338¾, up 39½. And January futures for the day finished at 1338¼, up 37½ cents. Bean meal at 426.30, up 11.70. Bean oil at 50.31, up 106 on the day. Cattle futures finished up $1.67½ in the live. Feeders at 159.10, up $1.15. And the lean hogs finished at $93.75. They were up $1.12½. The outside markets for the afternoon look like this. July futures at $84.42, up 60, or rather down 60 cents a barrel. Ethanol at $2.07¼. That's a penny and 9 cents higher. Natural gas at $2.27¼, down 14½ cents. And heating oil at $2.66¼, 6 tenths of a cent lower. Gold futures on the day at $1,586.60 an ounce, down $46.20, and the dollar at $82 and a nickel, at $82.05, that is, down 0.27 for the day. The CRB index at 274 is up 0.23. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies and a high of 82 degrees on a north wind at 3 to 5 miles an hour. Tomorrow, clear, or tonight, clear, and a low of 52 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear, and a low of 61 degrees. And then on Saturday, sunny, a high of 89 degrees with a southwest wind at 6 to 10. Saturday night, clear and 80, or rather 66. Sunday, sunny skies and 90 degrees. And Sunday evening, partly cloudy, a low of 70. Monday, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high near 85, and Monday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 68. Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high near 93 degrees, or rather 83 degrees. That's next week. And Tuesday evening, partly cloudy, and a low of 63. Wednesday, sunny skies and 81 next week. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather. He is in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, is on the phone line with us. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
And good afternoon, Todd.
It's a little dry and a beautiful day here. How about where you are?
Well, we got a nice little shower going on here in the North Shore of New Orleans. So it's humid, though. When I walked out this morning, you could cut the humidity with a knife. So it is kind of tropical down here. Let's say we get a shower and then the sun comes back out. But right now we've got a nice little shower going on.
Well, we don't want the humidity, but if you could send some of the rainfall our way, that would be really nice, I think.
Well, looking at the markets today, it looks like you guys are in dire need of some moisture up north.
Well, I guess the market thinks we're burning up, but things look still pretty good here at this point, although things can change fairly quickly. I would guess that the soybean crop's not doing as well as the corn at this time, but they tend to look not so great in late May and June anyway, so it's much, much tougher to tell. What do you think of the marketplace today?
Well, if you want to be a bull, you're getting things to go your way. For the lunar cycle guys, we had almost a picture perfect full moon low in the market. She broke last week going into the full moon over the weekend. We came out of the weekend sharply higher. So the lunar cycle guys are at least dialed in on this move anyway for the short term. I think fundamentally the beans are on fire simply because we just have a huge export booking to fill on soybeans. And then when you take into account the drier weather that we're seeing in the Midwest, you probably have some bean fields that maybe beans are just lying in dry dirt, or it's a bare field waiting for it to rain to plant some double crop beans. And I think if that would continue for a while, then all of a sudden I think you have to begin to squeeze down the planted acreage number on soybeans. And I think USGA's World Board was terribly fluffy on both corn and soybean yields anyway, just because of an early planting. And I think they're going to have a lot of egg on their face before the year's out, I think.
Next week, USDA's World Board will release the updated monthly WASD numbers. Will they need to adjust the export figure, and by that adjustment then turn around and move down the ending stocks for soybeans, do you think?
My guess is they need to. That doesn't necessarily mean they will.
Yeah.
They may not be in the real world yet, but I think that export number for beans is strong enough that ending stocks level could come down to 160 very easily, if not maybe 150. And USDA's got the ending stocks at 210. So I think they're going to have to recognize the fact that there's a lot of beans on the books. Now, maybe some of those beans may be able to be rolled on into the next crop year because the heavy book is going to be, you know, August and September. So, but there is a big book on soybeans. And if they mess around with old crop carry out, bringing it down, then they bring that, but they got to bring down new crop carry out. So it looks to me like the balance sheets are tightening. On the corn front, I don't know what they'll do on the corn front. I think ultimately they're going to be forced to bring the carry in down. But they may wait till the June 30th report to get another stocks number before they tweak with those demand numbers on corn.
Is the market for soybeans simply strong because there's not availability coming out of Brazil and or Argentina?
That's the key, is the market was super short, betting on a big crop coming out of South America. And then that failed to materialize, and then toward the end of the growing season, it just basically fell apart. So end users or world export buyers had to turn to the U.S. for inventory needs, and that's been the key catalyst here for these large soybean bookings that we've had here over the past couple of months. Now we're in a situation where the carryout's going to have to come down sharply.
And China's in the market and an early buyer for U.S. beans then?
Seasonally,
that is.
Pardon?
Seasonally, I would think.
Yeah, seasonally, well, what it does, I mean, the bean market is going to be extremely tight for a long time unless we have a real big crop up north because the function of the soybean market now will be to stay strong, to encourage South Americans to plant as large an acreage as they can, provided their weather conditions are favorable for that planting. So I think soybeans are in a pretty good driving seat here to stay firm as you go on into the fall months in here.
When you look at the charts, are there anything interesting in the soybean monthly charts that might be worth mentioning at this point?
Well, I think on both, on the monthly, if you look at lead futures, lead monthly on both soybeans and corn, I know the month still has 3 weeks left on it. We still have a major report to go through before we close out the month of June. But we do have nice monthly reversal to the upside in the making during a month of June, when usually you have monthly reversals in the making to the downside at this time of year. So it almost looks like this market might be teeing itself up for something similar to what we had in 2010, where the trade got carried away with extreme bearishness early in the season, and then just sit there and watch the crop deteriorate in front of their eyes, and they were all caught short. And then they had to buy their way out of that short position, just like the bears in the soybean markets having to buy their way out of the short soybean market because of the South American shortfall. And I think these corn bears that all got bared up on early plantings and 96 million acre plantings and then USDA's 166 bushel yield, they're going to have to buy their way out of this market before the year's out, too, I think, Todd.
Early on in our session today, you said those who wanted to be bulls had a lot to play with today. Do you want to be a bull?
Yes, I do. From a cyclical point of view, I'm in the opinion that I do think maybe things could get a little rough in 13, 14, maybe, but from a cyclical point of view, these markets are still in good shape to try to make some real strong highs as we go into the summer. And then maybe the financial situation will turn us into a crash situation as we get into 13, 14. But, yeah, I think the way I look at the market from a cyclical perspective, I've got to stay friendly in here, especially the way the market is performing now. And, you know, the weather pattern is set. I mean, it's been warm and dry all winter, all spring, and I think she's pretty well set in place here for the summer. And I think it'll be an interesting growing season before it's over with.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Very well, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. He joins us here on a Thursday afternoon for the Closing Market Report. You can always listen to him again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
of the Closing Mark Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. The director of that programming is Dave Dickey. He's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, China cut its benchmark lending rate today for the first time in nearly 4 years, adding to efforts to reverse a sharp economic downturn. The interest rate on a one-year loan will be cut by a quarter percentage point to 6.31% effective tomorrow. It was the first rate cut since November of 2008. Monthly data due to be reported this weekend are expected to show a further deceleration in industrial activity in China. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke today says that the U.S. economic recovery faces significant risks, including from the European sovereign debt crisis and uncertain U.S. fiscal policy. The Fed chief says the U.S. economy looks poised to continue growing at a moderate pace this year in remarks prepared for a joint economic committee hearing. But he pointed to headwinds constraining the recovery, including a weak housing market and concerns about the health of the European banking system. U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk today says that a repeal of a U.S. law that can be used to put trade restrictions on Russia is a top priority for his office this year. The Cold War-era Jackson-Vanik Amendment denies normal trading arrangements to non-market countries that restrict immigration. Russia has not restricted immigration in any way since 1991. The U.S. has granted Russia annual waivers since 1994, although the law remains in force and is an irritant to investors and Russian politicians. Russia has wrapped up negotiations on membership in the World Trade Organization, and its parliament is expected to ratify Russia's membership on July the 4th. USDA's chief economist Joseph Glauber today says that U.S. corn stocks should be rapidly rebuilt by flat domestic demand for the grain's use in ethanol production, which will likely pressure prices. Glauber told the International Grains Conference in London today that the major reason behind the expected stocks building was that corn's use in ethanol has flattened significantly, with the percentage use of the upcoming crop likely to be around 36%. And the UN Food and Agriculture Organization says that world food prices dropped sharply in May, reaching their lowest level in 8 months due to favorable supplies and currency fluctuations. The FAO reports that global prices of a basket of food commodities fell by 4% in May. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, that second program you can find on our website each and every week, updated at about 6 o'clock Friday evening Central Time. Our guest this week, Jim Bauer of Bauer Trading out of Lafayette, Indiana. In studio with us, Aaron Curtis, Wayne Nelson, and Dan Zwicker. Commodity Week, our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture. Now up next, why is it that you've been hearing all about floppy corn in the driest areas of the Midwest? I'll have an explanation of how that corn has come to whip in the wind. The weather is to blame. That's the most evident reason behind this season's floppy corn, says University of Illinois agronomist Emerson Nafziger.
Well, with the dry surface soils, we have corn that typically struggles a little bit to get its nodal root system. The seminal root system, that arises from the seed, is the first one out. And of course, every plant that comes up has a seminal root system. The nodal root system is that at the base of the stem of the corn plant. Normally, it gets out growing into the soil pretty well, and by the time the crop is knee-high or so, the seminal root system has pretty much faded away, and the nodal root system has become the main system for the plant. In this year, for reasons that aren't always clear, but certainly have to do with dry surface soils, some of the nodal root systems in some areas have had a real struggle getting established. So the plants, as they grow, they tend to get sort of whippy in the wind and moving back and forth, and it makes that nodal root system very difficult to develop. Roots don't grow into very dry soil, and so if it's dry in the upper surface layer of the soil, the roots may be trying to grow and simply not finding a place where they can do that. And in the most extreme examples, the corn plants are actually falling over because they don't have anchoring. And I've seen some videos and some cases where these plants have actually fallen over and broken off, and of course that plant's gone at that point.
The unusual part of this floppy corn syndrome is where and how the crown of the corn has developed. Essentially, Emerson Napsiger says the weather may have caused the plant to think it was upside down.
It's something we're only speculating about. My speculation is that the problem we had with corn planted that last week of April might actually have to do with the fact that the surface soils were fairly warm at that time, but the air temperatures dropped for about a week or so, late April into early May, and that we might have just slowed the coleoptile growth or the seedling growth up, but the mesocotyl, the connection between the seed and the base of the seedling, might have continued to grow longer. And I think we just had plants that sort of ended up with kind of this upside-down business with the air cooler than the soil, and we might have simply had this develop as a result of that.
The interesting part now will to see how these corn plants will continue to develop their root systems. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Let's check the cash grain market from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, on the phone line with us now. Matt Bennett, good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for taking the time with us. It's been a pretty hot basis for corn. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, basis is still staying pretty hot for corn. It kind of depends on where you're at. But, you know, there for a while, I don't know, probably 6 weeks ago, we saw it maybe back off a hair. But most places are still running, you know, 30 to 35 over locally.
Next week we'll have a WASDE up. We'll have an WASDE update next week. Do you think they'll change the numbers very much?
Well, it just depends. I mean, to me, I don't think that I sure don't think that we're going to get another surprise as far as more bushels or maybe rearranging bushels, if you will. And I think that whenever we come out next week, we'll look at a fairly tight situation still.
And your discussion about soybeans for the day, anything other than it just really popped like a son of a gun in Chicago?
Yeah, really, soybean market got kind of hot today. And I think, you know, there's a whole lot of discussion right now over this ridge situation. And this time of year, we always get pretty excited whenever we have a discussion like that. And especially, you know, a large area over the Midwest, like we're hearing from some of the forecasters, gets people pretty excited.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Oh, that'll be it. Thanks, Todd.
Hey, thank you. That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or on your mobile phone at m.willag.org. No www in front of that, just m.willag.org. Back in a couple of minutes when we'll talk with Mike Tenor. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois.
It's National Chocolate Ice Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1848, Bernhard Bang was born. A Danish veterinarian, he discovered the bacteria that caused contagious abortion in cattle. His teachings, along with the introduction of antiseptics, was a huge step forward in veterinary surgery. Bang was instrumental in showing that tuberculosis could be transmitted by cow's milk and in developing isolation techniques. He was the first to use tuberculin on cattle as a way of discovering which cows needed to be culled from herds. And he was among the first to create clean breeding centers for cattle. In 1886, Richard Hoe died, an American inventor. He developed and manufactured the first successful rotary printing press. In 1935, Ivan Michurin died, a Russian horticulturalist. He was responsible for crossbreeding over 300 new types of fruit trees and berries, some of which could survive harsh Russian winters. His ideas on hybrids that acquired characteristics or inherited eventually became state doctrine and was held as a uniquely communist approach to agriculture. In 1939, grapefruit-sized hail killed hundreds of farm animals in Rock County, Minnesota. And in 1914, Alliance became the first vessel to pass through the Panama Canal.
And that's this support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Pete Lavitt not available today, but Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather in Chicago is on the phone line to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. Mike, thanks so much for filling in. What do you see next week? We're still on that bubble, rain or no rain in your mind?
We certainly think there'll be rain. We don't have too much doubt that there will be some thunderstorms moving across the Corn Belt. The real problem that we have is that if you look at rainfall deficits over the last 30 days, they've increased dramatically, and it just hasn't rained that much in a large part of Kansas, Iowa, Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, even extending into parts of southern Michigan and northwest Ohio. Rainfall deficits over this period range from 2 to 4 inches and even greater than that in parts of Missouri and Illinois and Kansas. And because of that, we do have some concern that even though there will be storms coming up, we don't think there will be too many of them. The best chance for rain begins in Iowa Sunday night and Monday, and then those storms move across Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio as we head into Monday and Tuesday. After that, there's not a whole lot behind it, so we're thinking scattered half-inch to one-inch amounts across key corn and soybean areas. But when you're looking at rainfall deficits that already exceed 2 inches, and this event is still 3 to 5 days away, we have a lot of concern that this is going to eventually start to show up in the crops. They need rain at some point, and it's getting a little close here.
And the further we go into the calendar year, the harder it is to make up the deficit and or actually just to get a rainfall.
Well, that's true, and one of the things that you always have to worry about with this type of situation is that soil moisture evaporates into the atmosphere and becomes fuel for thunderstorms as the growing season moves on. This is a very typical part of Midwest climate in the summertime. But when we have really dry soil moisture pooling all over the Midwest, you don't have that usual source. So what ends up happening is that a normal weather system that would move across the Corn Belt and produce, say, 1 to 2 inch rains in a big area suddenly moves across the Corn Belt, just produces a few thunderstorms here and there, and the event never really gets going. And that's just because there's a lack of humidity. Humidity is the key ingredient for heavy rain. That's another thing we need to keep an eye on. There's still time for improvement, but we're concerned that the only good chance for rain is this event that begins Sunday and ends Tuesday. And after that, we don't see a whole lot out there heading in to June 15th to 20th. So there's definitely some concern there.
Do you have in the back of your mind whether there is a change in pattern coming at all later in the month of June or early in July?
Well, that's difficult to say. We don't have a real good idea beyond June 20th of what the weather might look like. The only thing that we do know is that it's been warmer than average across Illinois, Indiana, Iowa every month beginning in October, and that's never happened in records that go all the way back to 1895, 96. So we think that we're in a very unusual situation right now, and even though one would tend to think that this pattern will break down eventually, it's been going on for 8 to 9 months now. It just needs to be watched real closely. If we do have a pattern change, it'd be great because there still is time for big improvement. But if we don't, you know, we're kind of just looking right now toward the end of June and thinking this has to happen. We need a big rain.
Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. That wraps up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.